On this Tuesday morning, we get to meet once again with the folks from Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. With me this morning is the head of the emergency department, and that'd be Dr. Willie Foster, and the foundation director, Heather Quazanza. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, George.
So, Heather, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you this morning is because we wanted to talk about the Heroes Fund. What is the Peace Health Caregiver COVID Heroes Fund?
So, like many... some of our caregivers are experiencing personal hardships as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. So, like, their spouses have lost jobs. School has moved to distance learning. So, child care needs have increased. Some caregivers are isolating from their family to keep them safe. So, earlier this year, when the pandemic first started, Peace Health and the foundations created the COVID-19 Caregiver Heroes Fund to help income-eligible caregivers that needed financial assistance as a result of the pandemic. So this assistance helps with like housing needs, so mortgage payments or rent payments, child care, utilities, transportation, food, anything that is really going to help our caregivers be able to have less stress and be able to stay focused at work so they can continue to keep our community safe and healthy.
Now, is the fund still available for donations? Are you still able to donate to that?
Yep, you're still able to donate. I mean, we're not seeing any decrease in cases at this point, so our caregivers are still going to be impacted. So, yes, you can still donate. As always, 100% of any gift made stays right here in the Florence community to support the Peace Harbor caregivers and their families. And then Peace Health has actually also offered to generously match every dollar donated to the Caregiver Heroes Fund, so your donations have double the impact right now.
Wow, that's pretty cool. How can someone donate to that?
So a couple different options. You can always give me a call, 541-902-6589, or visit our website at peacehealth.org/herofund.
What are some of the other ways that Peace Health is supporting caregivers? So, I mean, obviously, a lot of stress is involved when you guys have to deal with this every day. What other kind of things are you helping out with?
So I actually feel really blessed to be part of Peace Health. I think they're doing a fantastic job taking care of us caregivers. So we have chaplains that are rounding and doing one-on-one support. We have employee assistance program counseling. We have mindfulness sessions and prayer groups. There's all sorts of different things that are trying to help us keep our spirits and our emotional health well during this time. Peace Health is actually also doing other things like connecting us with community resources, like for transportation or housing issues. And then we also have a COVID-19 paid sick time bank. So if you or someone in your household is exposed, you don't have to worry about taking your own paid time off. Like, Peace Health is taking care of that for you.
Obviously, we haven't seen a decrease in cases yet. In fact, Lane County's even had a little bit of a hit. Dr. Foster, how is that affecting operations at Peace Harbor? Are you still doing normal surgeries? You're still having people come in for emergency visits and stuff?
Yes, I would say that pretty much we're back to what we would call the new normal. We are doing, you know, emergency surgeries and scheduled surgeries. The ED is open. Our numbers are close to what they were last year, still a little bit down, and the clinics are open. Obviously, there are new protocols in place, the masking, the social distancing, testing of people prior to any procedure or surgery. But, you know, one thing that we've, you know, tried to make clear throughout this is if you're sick, if you need care of any type, the hospital and the clinics are open and ready to serve you. And certainly one option, especially in the clinics, are the virtual visits, which are quite good for some things. Obviously, there's some cases where you actually need to see the doctor, but in many cases, there are the option for a telephone or a virtual visit.
What would some normal virtual visits be? What are some of the cases that would arise for that?
Well, it might be, you know, follow up on some routine lab work. If you're a diabetic, those labs drawn, and the doctor could just call you up to talk about the results and possible changes in your medication. Doesn't necessarily need to see you for that.
Now, last week, while I was on vacation, Dutch Brothers had a couple of cases that came up that forced them to close for a few days and do some extensive cleaning. Are you concerned about those two cases that popped up there, or is that just sort of a cost of doing business?
I would see that as the cost of doing business. Places are going to be open. They're doing testing. Occasionally, they're going to have positive cases. I'm almost more concerned about places that aren't testing, where people aren't wearing masks. You're probably more likely to be exposed there than you are at Dutch Bros, where they're wearing masks and keeping distance. So, yes, this is important to find these cases, but I'm almost more concerned about the cases we're not finding that might be more potential for exposure.
Now, we had a story this morning from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department talking about outdoor activities and stuff like that. Is it accurate to say that you're less likely to catch it if you're doing outdoor stuff? Or is that kind of, you got to kind of weigh that?
Yes. I mean, that is true, that if you're outside, typically you're going to be farther away from other people. And then typically you have the wind that's going to disperse it. Though it is interesting that as of Friday, the new regulations from, you know, the state say that if you are outside and can't maintain 6 feet of distance, you should be wearing a mask. That is a new rule as of Friday. And certainly if you're inside for exercise purposes, you should be wearing a mask. And outside, if you can't stay 6 feet, you should have a mask on.
But that kind of makes sense, though, right? I mean, if you're within 6 feet of somebody, a cough, a sneeze, or something could potentially affect you, even in the outdoors.
That's correct.
We've talked about this many times before. So just to reiterate, how can folks, you know, keep themselves safe? What's the best ways?
Well, it was interesting, and I've probably heard this before, but it's the four W's. Wear a mask, watch your distance, i.e. keep 6 feet apart, wash your hands frequently, especially if you touch your face, and that's 20 seconds with soap and water. And then the fourth W would be wait it out. If you're sick, maybe have COVID, yes, get a test. But more importantly, don't be around and expose other people. So I really like those four W's, which we've kind of known about from the very beginning. And they're just as important now as they were in the beginning.
Now, what about the idea of, you know, people putting on and taking off their masks, putting on and taking off their masks? Now, I've always been taught that, you know, once you touch it, it then becomes dirty and necessary to be cleaned. What is the protocol for that?
I mean, in the hospital, we typically wear a mask for most of our shift. Unless it becomes visibly dirty, we try not to take it off. If you take it off and touch your hands, you definitely need to, you know, wash your hands. So for people out in public, touching your mask is going to make your hands dirty. Your hands then could transmit it. You need to wash your hands.
And, of course, you're touching things with your hands, so therefore that could also make the mask dirty.
Right, right. So generally, put the mask on. Don't touch it.
That's the best. Of course, you know, we have to get used to that. As a doctor or a nurse, I guess you guys get used to not having to touch it. But we're still even trying to remember to put them on at times. Does Peace Harbor have testing available for the Florence community at this point?
Yes, in general, our testing is available. Certainly if you have any type of symptoms, which could be related to COVID, there's opportunities for testing. There are opportunities for testing if you think you've been exposed. In general, we're still not to the place where we routinely test people just because they want to get tested without any symptoms or exposure. And there is antibody testing available, which would tell you if you had been exposed at some point. That's really something to talk to your doctor about when's the best time to get that test to know if maybe I did have coronavirus at some point.
Now, the last time I looked at a website that had the list of symptoms on there, it was about 30 long. Is that pretty much you kind of got to look and see what is being put out there as symptoms or possible symptoms of the coronavirus?
Right. I mean, that is growing all the time. Initially, it was more the fever and respiratory stuff. and then, you know, was added on some GI stuff, fatigue, body aches, and, you know, the lack of smell and taste, you know. So the official list is growing. I don't have that right in front of me, but there's quite a few symptoms that could be related to COVID.
Now, before we went on the air, you were talking a little bit about the vaccine process. Can you give us like a quick synopsis of where we are on that, and then we'll have to go?
Well, certainly there's, you know, a lot in the news about vaccines. I was just looking it up this morning. There is actually close to 165 vaccines in development around the world. 27 of those are in human testing. And there's basically three levels of testing. Phase one is where the vaccine is given to a few dozen people to see, is it safe? Does it cause any bad side effects? That's a few dozen people. Phase two, they give it to maybe 100 or several hundred people, again, to look at safety and to see, does it produce antibodies? Because if it produces antibodies, that's likely to mean it might be effective. And just recently, there's been six vaccines that have moved into phase three. And this is where they're testing tens of thousands of people and basically giving the vaccine to half the people, a placebo to half, and then following them over several months to see, does that prevent them from getting the COVID? Or if they get COVID, are they less sick and less likely to die? And that's really the question we're looking at, are these phase three trials. We think producing antibodies is going to prevent the infection, but it's really these phase three trials that are just starting now that are going to, you know, tell us, is this vaccine going to work? And just one last caveat there is that the CDC has said for them to approve a vaccine, it has to protect at least 50% of the people. So even a successful vaccine doesn't mean that everybody that gets it is going to be, you know, totally protective. The CDC would consider a successful vaccine as, you know, preventing 50% of the infections.
Will they be able
vaccine is going to be, you know, a real game changer in this whole COVID pandemic when it does get here.
Will they be able to tell, like you said, there's 27 in trials right now. Will they be able to, will like some vaccines protect 50% of the population and other vaccines, maybe the other 50%, or will they not be able to tell that from their trials?
I mean, that's a good question. I'm not sure, but it's possible that some vaccines would protect a different subset than others because these vaccines are working on different aspects of the virus and stuff. So it's quite possible that, yes, we could get different coverage. One vaccine might protect 70. That's the one that's probably going to get the most approval and the most money put forward to it. But if there was two that both did 50 and they were overlapping, I'd imagine that both would be developed, you know, on a much larger scale.
Now, you say they're going to be looking at this over the next couple months. Is it likely if they are a positive results that we might see a vaccine on the market by the end of the year?
It is possible from what I've read, though initially that vaccine is going to be fairly limited when it first comes out. It takes a while to make hundreds of millions of doses of the vaccine. So if there is a vaccine approved by the end of this year, initially it's going to be used just for, you know, frontline workers, healthcare workers, EMS, people that are exposed a lot, and for those patients that are at much higher risk, the elderly with multiple medical problems. So initially the vaccine will be somewhat limited into who we can get it to.
All right. Sounds good. Now, just real quickly, Heather Quazanza with the foundation, give us your phone number once again for people that might want to donate to the Caregivers Fund, the Heroes Fund.
So phone number 541-902-6589, or you can also visit peacehealth.org/hero fund.
All right. Heather Quazanza, Dr. William Foster, thank you both for being here this morning. Good information.
Thank you very much, George.
All right, that's our.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. That's our Peace Health Peace Harbor update for this morning.